I'd like to speak about compassion this morning. And yeah, and again, like I said, if this is my first time doing this, I hope it goes good. And if I misspelled a word, remember that I was homeschooled. Okay? And my mom isn't even here to hear that. So, but my text this morning is Jude, obviously chapter 1, starting at verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So Jude says that there's going to be those in your life that are mockers, that are sensual, those that are not filled with the Spirit. They're going to follow the flesh. And then he talks about what we should be like in contrast. And so he talks about two things here. He kind of talks about those, and he talks about ye. And I hope that we all fit into the ye this morning, that describes us pretty good. Building up our faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for his mercy. But how are these two cannot coexist, right? These two are opposites. You have one that's wicked, one that's righteous. And how are we supposed to reach them that are wicked? And so he says that of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And I've always thought that saving someone with fear is like pulling them out of hellfire, or they're in a dangerous place, and we reach in and we take them out. We pull them away from hellfire. But what does it look like to have compassion with someone, making a difference? And so I'd like to look at what compassion looks like. And I'm not going to look it up in the dictionary. I'm not going to look up what the word means. I want to show you what compassion looks like. And I want to look through the life of Jesus several times that he had compassion and look at what he did. So my first text is there in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the first thing is that compassion moves us to action. Okay, compassion's a feeling. So Jesus looked out and saw the multitudes, that they looked like sheep without a shepherd, and he felt something inside. And that something prompted him to act. So compassion moves us to action. There we go. Compassion also prays for people. So Jesus said, he turned to his disciples and he said, pray to the Lord that God will send people to reach these people. So compassion prays for people. And also, you know, it's a little bit like, I don't know, you think about a mother standing there with her children, looking at a terrible mess in the living room. And the mother looks at it and says, children, we need to pray that God sends someone to clean up this mess. That's how I look at this a little bit. Jesus is telling his disciples, we need to pray that God sends somebody to reach these people. And it's like, disciples, Go, do it. Compassion also desires good for others. So Jesus saw these people that needed help, and he desired that they would be at a better place. All right, next one is Matthew 14. And we'll start reading at verse 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So this is after John the Baptist was killed. When Jesus heard that, he departed into a desert place apart. And we're going to read, later on, we're going to read another story that Mark's perspective of this, and we'll read about that. But this is Matthew. So when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So when this great multitude came to Jesus, he was moved with compassion, and he healed them. He healed their sick. And he also fed them. So imagine Jesus, you know, he wanted to get away. He wanted to get to a place where he could think, where he could grieve. And he did that multiple times in his ministry. He went to pray for a while. He wanted to get away. But when the multitudes came, he had compassion, and he healed the sick. He fed the people. So compassion takes care of the physical needs of the people. Go to Matthew 15. This is a very similar story, but I'm going to bring out something else here. So Matthew 15, starting at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." So this kind of brings out the same thing, but it brings out that Jesus was persistent. Notice Jesus' compassion was not going to give up. I will not send them away hungry. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stop until I do something about it. So compassion is insistent. We're going to do something about it, right? Matthew 18. Starting at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So this is a story that Jesus told. And the man owed 10,000 talents. And I don't know how much that would have been in relation to like today, but they were going to sell all his things, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children to pay the debt. So it was a big debt. And this man was moved with compassion and he forgave him. Compassion forgives. Mark chapter 1. And I love this little story, starting at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So in the old days, leprosy made a person unclean. Those of you who read through the Bible know really well what clean and unclean is, right? By now, hopefully. And if you were clean and you touched somebody that wasn't clean or that had leprosy, that made you unclean. So then you had to have your time of separation. But it wasn't that way with Jesus. When Jesus touched someone that was unclean, the uncleanness didn't rub off on Jesus. Jesus' perfect cleanness rubbed off on them. And I think that's so neat. And it's a perfect picture of Christ's touch on our lives. So Jesus reached out and touched the unclean person and made a difference. And I think that's what we should do. When someone is struggling with sin or whatever, we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't look at them with disgust. We shouldn't do, you know, arm's length discipleship. No, Jesus reached out and touched him. And I think that probably made a massive impact on this man that probably hadn't been touched, possibly in years. Like, I don't know. Compassion touches others. We should touch people in a spiritual way. But I don't want to lose the physical as well. Sometimes people need an arm around their shoulder. Sometimes people need a hug when it's appropriate. That can work wonders. Compassion touches others. Mark chapter 5. So this is a story about the man that had the legion of demons in him, and how Jesus cast them out, and they entered into the swine, and the swine ran off the cliff into the sea. And we'll pick up at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And I can't imagine the impact that this would have had on this community. 2,000 pigs, that's a lot. You know, they probably ran over the edge of the cliff and looked down and saw like this mass of floating hogs out in the water. It would have been awful. And imagine the monetary loss that would have been. So the people of the city ran out to see what was going on. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So, compassion has a purpose. Like, Jesus did this for a purpose, and it wasn't that, you know, Jesus was like, hey, and this is kind of my next point here, that compassion is kingdom focused. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you know, come join our group. You know, we're trying to make our group as big as we can, and, you know, come join up. Let's do something great. You know, no, it was, I had compassion on you for a purpose, and I want you to go and tell the story. And he did. Compassion has a purpose or a goal. It's not self-seeking, but is kingdom-focused. Chapter 6, verse 30 through 34. Now this is the, I think this is the same, yeah. So this is the story of John's death or whatever and what Jesus did in response to that from Mark's perspective. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship, privately, or I think secretly is what it would mean. But the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So in the other story, Jesus healed the sick, he fed them. Mark brings out that he taught them. He was moved with compassion, and he taught them. Compassion teaches. Chapter 9. Starting at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, so Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and when he came down, there was this big multitude around his disciples, and the scribes were there questioning them, and Jesus came up on that. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch as many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. So what would you say here? And I think this is so interesting. So in this story, the father ask for compassion. And I think this is so interesting. I read this and I thought, yeah. What would you say if this was your child that was having this issue? Okay, so this man came to the disciples and they couldn't cast him out, and here comes Jesus, and he runs up to Jesus and he tells him the story. Like, you know, this demon tears him and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and all this stuff. And the disciples couldn't do anything. And if you will have compassion, I know you can heal him. And so Jesus said, well, bring him here. And they brought him here. And when the child saw Jesus, he had whatever you want to call it, a manifestation of the Spirit. See, he fell on the ground and he was wallowing and foaming. And Jesus, you know, you think of Jesus, you know, well, we need to, you know, quickly, you know, help the poor boy, like, let's have compassion and heal him quick. But Jesus just kind of stands there and he says, well, how long has he been like this? And the father's like, I imagine the father like kneeling on the ground to try to help him, And I imagine this poor boy, he says that oftentimes he's been thrown in, he's thrown himself into the fire and into the water. So I imagine he had scars from being burned, and he was foaming, and he was in a terrible state. And I imagine the father being fairly desperate when he says, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus still didn't. He said, well, you know, if you have faith, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. He still withheld his healing. And the poor boy was in that state while Jesus stood there and had this conversation. And the father's response, he cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, and help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus healed him. That's what Jesus was after. I think that's so neat. And I guess the point is that compassion is not alone. We don't just have blind compassion, right? Jesus had compassion, but he coupled it with some discernment, with some wisdom. Couple it with the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe having compassion right away is not a good idea. Maybe we want to see some change before we extend compassion. Here, Jesus wanted to see faith. Luke chapter 7. Starting at verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. This poor widow, she had lost her husband, and this was her only son, and now she lost her son. And the point is, there's not much hope left for her. She's the only one left. And Jesus, with compassion, told her, weep not. Compassion offers hope to people that don't have hope. Luke 15. This is my last one here. Starting at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Compassion sees repentance from afar. I think that's so interesting. That's a quality we need to learn, that we can pick up someone's repentance quick. And what did the father do? He saw it, and he ran, and he was there. He fell on his neck and kissed him. Compassion sees repentance from afar. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And my last point is, compassion restores. And what a beautiful picture this story is of the wayward son being restored back to his family. So I think this is where I'll end. Do you have a good picture of what compassion is? First Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and that ye should inherit a blessing." 1 John 3, 17 and 18, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I want to finish by reading the passage here in Jude that I started with. "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference." And I think if you do these things, you will make a difference. So I would encourage you to practice this. Practice compassion. Jesus is our example.